today the most important things and the more important things, re-traditionalizing and having a happy home. And stick with me to the very end, and I will provide you some product that you'll want to have. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you're having a great holiday season. Today we're going to talk about the most important things and the more important things and traditionalization, re-traditionalization, that is. I saw a meme on social media yesterday and said something about if you get X, Y, and Z and you don't get the eternal, it doesn't matter at all. And, you know, that's true. We are so busy just trying to get the thing that the school told us we have to get by tomorrow and get to work on time and find out why the kid is screaming. You know, that's the everyday life, I think, of the average mother. Certainly was mine. And why can't the school, when they want something to be bought, why can't they tell you 2 weeks ahead? Why does it have to be, you have to do this now? And of course, I had more than a full schedule already. So I know that that's true. And when you have a child who has some special needs, then you have more challenges on your time. In my situation, we had crying for hours before school. We had crying hours after school. I spent more time on my daughter's elementary school homework, helping her with it, than I did with my own work in a highly competitive graduate school. I look back and I don't know how I could have done it differently, but I would certainly choose to if I could. I don't know, today, if that were happening today, I might ditch graduate school and homeschool my daughter. But anyway, that didn't seem to be an option in the 80s. And everybody has different situation. But it is true that one should prioritize not the urgent, but the important. And the eternal values are foundational. So if your child were to succeed in school and succeed in life and yet fail to make heaven, fail to be a good person, fail to have true joy, peace, and righteousness in their life, then that life is not a success. And this is not the aim of our parenting, is it? So, first off, we want eternal values. And we find that in our faith. Now, I've tried to make this open to a wide range of Christians. And so, exactly how you are the most comfortable reaching out to the Lord, I don't know. But I will tell you that the Lord is reaching out to you. The historical Jesus, the man standing on this earth, when he told his disciples, he said, I'm going away, meaning I'm going to die, but I will come again. I will not leave you forsaken. And he came back three ways. One, he was resurrected, talked to these disciples. And this is a reasonable thing for us to believe because people were willing to die for their testimony of their experience. And he came back in the person of Holy Spirit. He walks with us today through Holy Spirit. So we are not orphans. And he promises to come back actually, physically, literally, in his body. Now that's going to be a big event. There's going to be plenty of judgment in that. Hallelujah. It's a great thing if you're the righteous or the oppressed. Be a pretty scary thing if you have been the oppressor, the powerful, and the careless. Yeah, the Great Gatsby novel. So in that novel, there was not a great oppressor, but there were the careless, and there was the glasses overlooking the wasteland. And so much of our world is like that. But unfortunately, as we have seen unmasking, there is some great unrighteousness and some great oppression. And it's not where we expected to find it, is it? But anyway, hallelujah, we can be saved, rescued. In fact, Jesus' name in Hebrew, Yeshua, means salvation. And this is the promise of the gospel, that we can be rescued out of this perverse generation, that we can be rescued from our own sins. We can be rescued from the brokenness of the world. Because the world was created good. You know, it dawns every morning, and the birdies sing, and the sun shines, and the leaves glisten. This is fundamentally good. And then we walk out of our house, and people cut us off in traffic. People act badly, and people try to steal from us and swindle us in 15,000 ways before we get home. And then we turn on, probably not the news, but we turn on news sources online, and we see very sad things and sad analyses, and you know, we feel like a ping pong ball. You know, be afraid of this, be afraid of that, be afraid of this, be afraid of that. Jesus can rescue us from that as well, in more ways than one. So first off, he says, come to me as a little lamb, and he is the good shepherd. That's the first instance. Come to me. And he cleans up the lambs and bandages their wounds and protects them. But then we grow to be our own ewes and rams, I suppose, in this analogy. And he says, be courageous. In fact, Moses said this, Joshua said this, Jesus said this. I'm reading in John 15. Can you tell? I'm reading John. Anyway, no, actually, be courageous is in 14 and 27, John 14 and 27. Anyway, Jesus is the rescuer, and he is also our guide, and Holy Spirit is our teacher and our advocate, and the Father loves us, and we should believe the love. We should believe the love. We tend in English to think believe is mental assent, but believe in Hebrew, pistis, is more reliance on. And there is another word in Greek, lambano, which means to take. So if I give you a Christmas present, you will take it. You will put your hands on it, move it towards you, and you will unwrap it. This is taking. So we receive in this way. We take the gift of God through faith. And so I am going to encourage you in the first step to consider the claims of the gospel and to take this to yourself. And encourage your children also. That would be to be born again. All right, so we're going to go up Romans just to anchor this in scripture. Romans 10 and verse 8. But what does it say? Meaning, what does the scripture say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved or rescued. For with the heart man believeth, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Referring to Isaiah 28 and 16. So, I am not telling you that if you raise your hand or walk an aisle, that you're good to go. I'm telling you to rely on Jesus. I am telling you to believe in Jesus, to speak about Jesus, and your heartfelt belief and your words will make your life conform to righteousness, meaning right relationship, doing the right thing. And in today's world, there seems to be controversy about what doing the right thing is. But I think you will find that the Creator knows how the creation works better than some other people. So I'm commending this to you to believe in Jesus, to find out what Scripture says, and to conform your life to that. Church ought to be help with that. And since this is the holiday season, I encourage you to pick one that seems most likely to be helpful. And go to church this Christmas season. Or if you're messianic and you've got your nose out of joint about Christmas, well, you have already gone to Hanukkah services by the time it's published. The point is, be part of a community of faith. And I want to speak of re-traditionalization. If we did conform our lives to higher principles said in the Bible, we would look more traditional, wouldn't we? Fathers would do the right thing. Mothers would do the right thing. Children would do the right thing. even insignificant things, which are not entirely insignificant, like dressing, would conform to more joy, more peace, and more righteousness, wouldn't it? But we see sad people, sad young people, who are demonstrating and speaking forth their sadness in how they dress. They're not speaking forth peace and joy and righteousness, but the opposite. So let's go ahead and put on our holiday clothes and enjoy the gift of love that the gospel talks about, and celebrate in our families. And yes, I know that there are some brokennesses and some hard places. Let's bring the peace and joy, faith, sometimes it takes faith, to those gatherings and not become a broken, hard place or a prick, but the hands of the Savior wrapping up, the hands of the Savior leading and guiding gently, and Holy Spirit covering a multitude of sins. So re-traditionalization. And not the sins of the past, but just because there were a few sins remaining in the past doesn't mean that the accuser of the brethren has a better way. So, yes, your parents weren't so perfect, okay. But if they attempted to be perfect, if they attempted to be parents, then appreciate that. Or maybe it was your grandparents. So maybe your grandfather said a harsh word to your grandmother once in a while, but he provided for her, and she was equipped then to do the cooking, so your parents had better food, And maybe they were swindled and snookered and didn't protect their children from the youth culture and drug, and so therefore you know your grandparents better than you ought to. Okay, fine. Appreciate what's good and take that. And then go back to the original template to improve, rather than going further away. Do you see what I'm saying? The accuser of the brethren is Satan. And we have plenty of that. And we have a lot of new ideas that have been growing and growing and growing. And the result has been bad. So let's go back to something that was better. Are men depredating upon women? How about let's going back to more dignified clothing? More stated boundaries to protect our girls.
And a whole lot less encouragement.
And so order your household, order your life, order the education of your children according to primary values. First the eternal values, and then the life values, and then the education values ought to line up. It is amazing the extent to which this is true. So if you did that, and say you're a family, you've got father, mother, two incomes, and you're sending your child to private school. But if the family, and everybody's busy, but you are fortunate enough to be able to rush off to Cancun over Christmas season, what if you stopped and went to church? What if you started questioning some of your priorities and talked together about rescheduling, a little more traditionalization? Oh, and when you get back, maybe get back from Cancun, you will find a church and your child will have some religious education every weekend. Oh, that couldn't hurt. And then maybe you might look at the private school and say, you know, if we put them in a Christian private school, let's see if the academics wouldn't be higher. Let's see if when there is a problem, not if, but when there is a problem at school, would there be shared values that we could call the school on? Oh, and all of a sudden, your child has more dignity, more academics, and is doing the right thing because they have right models. What about that? What if you're a single mom and you have to work two jobs and you're sending your children to government schools and you're worried about the gunshots in your neighborhood and you're really afraid that your son, who's getting to be a teenager, may get into a gang. If you got into a church and if he were running with the youth in the church, wouldn't that help? There you have it. And you know what? They might have a school and they might have a scholarship for your child because they see you're trying hard. Wouldn't that help? But it all starts with the eternal connection. And by the way, maybe your own life would be conformed, and who knows, but what the Lord might send a good father to your family instead of the very sad results you've had with.
And I can tell you that there are churches where people are moving in from all over the countries in order to live a traditional lifestyle. Somewhat amusingly, many of the pastors of these congregations think it's about their superior theology or leadership, but actually it's about the community. People see good families with lots of kids and a wholesome environment, and they want to join that.
Non-Christian men. Okay, so I know what I'm talking about, and I'm not dolloping guilt, am I? But I am showing you a way that has been cut up and lied about. Okay? So this is my Christmas gift to you. Yes, I want to help your children and their learning problems. But this will be a support to all of that. Because if there's not chaos in the neighborhood, if there's not chaos in the home, and if there's not chaos in the school, then chaos in the kitchen, then a lot of learning problems will be cleared up, annihilated, evaporated. And those that remain can be addressed in faith. And that's where I started from, because that's what worked for me. Faith. Faith that the Lord wanted the best for my child. Faith that the Lord would help me find the right strategy. Faith that we would have a good outcome. And faith still seems to me to be the better path. It's a whole lot better path than resignation. It's a whole lot better path than depression. It's a whole lot better path than despair. But fortunately, we have not just faith in faith, but faith that God, the creator of the universe, God who has come down to us as a human being, God in flesh, Jesus, which is what we're supposed to be celebrating at Christmas, God who has even died for us, which is what we celebrate at Passover, Resurrection Day, God who walks with us in Holy Spirit, which is what we celebrate at Pentecost, God has a gift for us. Receive it now. And that's my word. May you be blessed.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.
Now, I have this product about how to teach in difficult times. We know that we are in difficult times. And we may go through more crises this next year. The threat level for violence has never been greater in terms of terrorism. The fact that we have been hanging on the precipice of world war.
And both clearly manipulated by people who expect us to turn to them and give them more control.
The fact that we know that the world elite have tried to kill people, the fact that all of our institutions seem to be exposed as being complicit with elite and...
Really, it is a horrible picture, whether it's the ongoing death and destruction at the lower level that we never noticed, or the stochastic crisis, fear-mongering death and destruction that seems to be attacking us now. I have good news that in the final analysis, God is in control. In the final analysis now, I don't think that everything happens is the will of God, because I think God gave choice to humans. And this world is broken. That's what we call the fall. But I do think in the final analysis, God is in control. So just as day follows night, just as spring follows winter, just as in the story of eschatology, the end of times, the millennia follows the great tribulation, I have faith that we can make it through. And the ways to make it through are to ally with the good, to be an ally to the good. And since the good is God, we're not equal partners in that, but follow God. And you will see that people who do the right thing tend to get a better result. Is it perfect? No, because there is persecution. But tend to get a better result here. And there is so much testifying that there is an afterlife. Let's be sure we have that. Because if you do the right thing and people kill you for it, hallelujah, you can go to your death with equanimity, even rejoicing. Like Stephen, like John, like Peter, like everybody. And the alternative to that is what? Dying too. Maybe later. Maybe not later. Maybe earlier. Okay, so you have a choice of path in life. I'm saying pick the good one. Now, if we're going to face some difficult times, let's face it together. Find a community. Work with your family to the extent that's possible. If not, get a substitute family in your congregation. If you have a tribe, great. A tribe that's good. If not, that should be your community, your congregation, and the extension of that congregation, the fellowship of congregations, the denominations. Work with that. Find a good one. And then, to the extent that you have time for civil service, find a good tribe. Find as much self-resilience, self-reliance, and resilience as you can. One human can only do so much about that. But if everybody did that together and joined hands to work together, we would be pretty much there. Okay? So that's true in food. That's true in protection. That's true in education. Okay? So may you and yours increase. Trust in the Lord that He will help you. He has guided people through history before. That's what the whole story of Hanukkah is about, the Maccabees. And you know the story of Esther, and you know the story of Gideon, and you know the story of Joshua, and you know the story of Moses, right? That's what it's about. Here and now. Be blessed.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
I know you want to get my Dangerous Times Secrets to Victory for Parents and Educators. You need it. It will revolutionize the way you deal with your children or teach your class. I guarantee it. Vital Teaching. 4 CDs in a set, $50. Write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630.